Daniel Ruth of the band New Blue is my guest. We'll talk about their latest album, Vagabonds. All right, I'm really happy to welcome. I know the band well, New Blue, but I've never talked to Daniel Ruth before. How are you, Daniel?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. Thanks for having me come up.
We talked at length with Caroline last time a new album came out, which is a great album. I loved it. I can't wait to hear this one. I just haven't gotten my hands on it yet, but the name of the album is...
It's Vagabonds.
Vagabonds.
Yeah, because that's kind of what we are these days. We spend 200-plus days a year on the road.
Well, so, you better. You got that big bus.
You kind of... Home is where you park it. You know?
Takes up half of the floor upstairs.
Yeah, I know it. So.
That's good that you got it, though.
It's been a real blessing. The bus is affectionately named Lola from the Barry Manilow song, Copa Cabana. We got it, and it's got all these bells and whistles on it. And Carolyn said, this bus is like a show bus. I said, it's like a showgirl. She goes, we're going to name it Lola.
Lola.
So, that's how she got her name.
And it's on Voxel Records?
Yeah. Okay. This is our first project on Voxel.
Yeah, okay.
And been really, really cool to work with those folks. They've been really hands-on when they needed to be, hands-off when they needed to be. You know, they let us take care of the creative process and then step in when it's their turn and take off with it. And then so it's been a fantastic addition to the team.
You have a lot of, you pulled from a lot of different writers as I'm looking down here on for different songs. Right before we went on the air, you were talking about one that we'll get to, the one that's still Small Voice, which I think is doing, as you described, pretty well. But it's like you pulled from, there's Carl Jackson, Bob Dylan, Merle Haggard. You guys always draw in a lot of resources, I think, don't you?
We do, and it's sometimes it's planned, sometimes it's very calculated, and sometimes it just happens. One of the things on this album, typically we do our best to record as much original material as we can. This album is very different in that there's five covers on here. But when you start looking at some of the cover tunes, they're not traditional bluegrass cover tunes. Mentioned Bob Dylan, but we're Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
I've never heard it done bluegrass.
Yeah,
time.
So we did that. Good Hearted Woman, that's a Waylon and Willie tune. Yep. Of course, everybody knows it. But, you know, we put our own spin on it. And then a lot of folks don't realize Surround Me With Love is actually an old Charlie McLean tune. And that's going way back, not too far back, but early 80s.
Yeah.
Early 80s country. So it's kind of cool to be able to pull some of that stuff over. And the title Vagabonds actually comes out of cut
there's
number
no song.
Seven.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's no song called Vagabonds.
Well, Gypsies on Parade.
Okay.
In the chorus on Gypsies on Parade, it says Vagabonds that got it made. And it's about life on the road. Which we do. And so that's actually an old Sawyer Brown tune. That Carolyn heard them do live in the 80s, and it's been that's the whole premise of this whole album, came from that song, because we always knew we wanted to do Gypsies on Parade. We wanted to cover that tune.
So the album's Vagabond.
And the album's Vagabond, but we knew we had to live it first.
Yeah.
You know, that's something you can't sing about being on the road and living that life. You know, you can't. We like to make sure that, you know, when we sing about it, we feel that emotion.
Yeah.
And you know, after doing this full time now for 6 years and being literally gone away from home more than we are home, you know, we're living it. So it felt like the time was right.
You want to be there in the bus and have all the uptowns and the downtimes.
That's right, yeah.
So, you can only live in that small space for so long.
That's it. Yeah, every once in a while you got to
deal with it.
Every once in a while you got to stop and just kind of walk side to side a little bit instead of back and forth.
Well, this is I'm excited to get this. So. The Still Small Voice was something we were talking about before we went on the air.
Yeah.
That meant a lot to you, and I think is it the single that's getting heard most? Or?
It is. That's the single off of the album, and we were actually pitched this tune a couple years ago for our previous album.
And that's the one that had Sam Moore on.
It did, yeah. And so we had, that album was kind of, by the time we got Still Small Voice pitched to us, the album was kind of set, and it just didn't fit the album. And we're very careful about making sure that our albums are a good listen from start to finish, you know, not just this song from one song to the other. And we knew we wanted to do it, and so whenever we started this album, Carolyn, she's like, we got to see if that song's still available. It was. And then when we got it, we found out that the song was co-written by Jimmy Fortune of the Statler Brothers, and a gentleman by the name of Tony Lopasinski, and to most people aren't going to know what that name, but he was the lead guitar player for a rock group called Train. I know there's a lot of folks out there that know about that group. And
yeah.
Tony lost a battle with cancer about 2 years ago.
Oh,
and but it's just so this it kind of ends up being interesting story with it. We got the song, we recorded it, and we found out that Jimmy co-wrote it. So we asked him to come in and record on it, and he jumped at the chance to do that with us. So we got Jimmy Fortune on there with us, and we're in the studio that day, and Jimmy's recording it, and right in the middle of the session, he said, "I hear this song." He said, "And all I hear is Tony in my head."
Wow.
So he said, "This is like the voice of Tony still continuing on." So
wow.
It's really cool. It's a great, great tune, and just fun to play. Got a great, great positive message to it, just been a phenomenal response. I think this is one of those songs that means something a little different to everybody that hears it. But everybody just love it. They keep coming back and telling us, man, we just play that song over and over again.
You know, you can probably feel it when it's going to happen, but then when it happens, it just makes you feel that much better that your judgment was right.
It does.
And all of a sudden it's caught on, and you knew it was something special when you were doing it.
Yeah, yeah. And we try to, you know, that's the whole thing with any band, I think. You do an album and you think, you know, wow, this is the one song that's going to be it, and you know, you put that through your team, and everybody, you know, ends up picking the single, but you always hope you're right, but to get that validation and see it climbing the charts, and you know, charts are great, but for us, the validation is when somebody comes to a show,
yeah,
and they say, "Wow, you know, you guys did this song, and it really touched me." That's the validation for us. You know, it doesn't really have anything to do with chart success or anything.
Tell me
like
about
that.
Troublemaker. That's not a tune that I'm familiar with.
Again, that's another song.
I picked a good one, didn't
you
I?
You did. No, it's a great song. That's probably one of the band favorites on there. It's really fun to play, too.
Play it late in the set.
Yeah. It's so on our last album, we'll jump back just a second.
Yeah, sure.
On our last album, the title of the album was All the Way, our previous album.
Okay.
And that song was a Carl Jackson tune. And it's written from the kind of the domestic violence side of things, where the girl finally has enough and, you know, she runs away from the guy, and then the guy comes back and she has to deal with things in the only way that she could. And so Troublemaker's kind of along that line, but it's even a little more hardcore. This young lady didn't pull any punches in this tune.
that's not a bad theme anymore.
Yeah, it's really not, and it's the sad thing is it's something that happens. You know, it's out there,
it's
and it's sad.
I don't mean to make light of it, and we're talking about the song, but it shouldn't have to fight back. It shouldn't happen. There shouldn't have to be pulled no punches. It shouldn't
absolutely
have to happen. That's
absolutely, but you know, it's bluegrass,
yeah.
And you know, If you look at the genre as a whole, you know, we always say if you can write a good murder ballad,
yeah,
you've got to hit.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, and then there's and we joke from stage a lot of times when we're introducing one of these songs that, you know, bluegrass wives and girlfriends don't typically fare very well.
No, they don't.
They don't ever make it past the
second
chorus.
And I've noticed this too. I've noticed this too about the guys singing the song, or if it's a song that leads in that direction, is yes, it's very sad. But I think that if you could get Willie aside and say, he'd go finish her off. I mean, they're sad, but
yeah.
I think it's something they had to do. That sounds weird to me, but when I listen to these songs, it's like if you gave them another chance, I think the same thing would happen.
Yeah,
And they would tell you, I had to do it, which is just an odd concept, an oddity
in our,
yeah.
I think it's one of the things that's, I don't want to say genre specific,
no,
but just for some reason, it's a thing in bluegrass, and it's we tell everybody who's like, you got to be really careful if you're a bluegrass musician or a bluegrass fan, because you can't just walk around Walmart and say the tunes to a bluegrass song or be singing, because you can get in trouble.
That's right. You mentioned Carl Jackson. He has a tune on this album, The Bridges That You Burn. Carl Jackson is one of those.
Oh man,
he's just a legend.
He
can write. He can play. People forget how great a musician he is because he writes so many great songs. But if you can get a Carl Jackson tune, you're doing fine.
It's, you know what? It was just really, it was really awesome whenever Carl sends you anything.
Yeah.
Because you know when you open the email, you see it come in, you know they're all going to be good. You know, it's like, you know, that's like one of the things. It's like, how do you say, you know, no to a Carl Jackson? You know, it's like, how do you pick, if he sends you three, how do you pick just
one?
Yeah,
how do you pick one?
You know, and of course, we always joke with Carl about that. And he was like, well, you can cut all three of them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, take them for next time. But, now, when he lets you record something like this, did the other two become unavailable? I don't mean to get real shop talk here, but
now, typically, well, the typical situation with any songwriter, you know, you'll get pitched songs, and when something comes in, if you hear something you really like, what you do is you just call them back or email them back, and you have a conversation and say, look, you know, we like this tune, we want to put it on hold, you know, we want to cut it right now.
Does that mean somebody else would record it for a while?
Right. When you put something on hold, that's kind of like, okay, you're gonna do the song.
Okay.
It's on hold.
Yeah.
It means that right now the plan is for it to go on the album.
Yeah.
And then we're very careful because, you know, we understand that, you know, sometimes you'll put 15 or 16 songs on hold and you'll only cut 10 or 12.
You got to let them know quick enough.
And you got to let them know. And so what, that's one of the things we try not to keep something on hold any longer than we have to, because we understand that that's the songwriter's livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
And if we've got something held up for 2 or 3 years and then we don't cut it, that's money that they could be making off of another cut.
I've never asked anybody that before, but when you said that, I thought I needed to figure out what
that was
about.
Yeah, I'm glad you did, because it's something that, you know, we try to be very mindful. Because, you know, these folks write these songs. When you write a song, I mean, it's your baby.
Yeah.
You know, and for somebody to give that away, that's a big thing.
This album, talking to Daniel Ruth, New Blue, the new album Vagabonds, came out, you say April this year?
Came out April 28th.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you've been touring behind it, I guess, or playing songs from it since then?
We have. It's been really good. It's been a really good summer home tour.
When does the tour season end for you, sort of, kind of?
For us, it doesn't really. We take a couple weeks off for Christmas break.
Yeah, okay.
You know, take a week, you know, maybe, you know, Thanksgiving, I can't even say the major holidays, because, you know, that's when we're working.
Yeah, you're working.
Of the time.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know, you take a week for Thanksgiving, you take a couple weeks for Christmas, you know, through New Year's. We do a bluegrass cruise every year.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah,
in January, early January. So that's how we kick our year off. So
yeah,
it's like,
okay.
You know, we kick our year off with a cruise, so we're not, you know, it's pretty cool.
You're not going to have to drive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I just float.
I float for a week. But it's a good way to kick the year off.
I like the sound that New Blue has. I like the choices that you guys make.
Thank you.
I can't wait to get into this album a little bit more. I appreciate you stopping by, Dan.
Thanks a lot for having us, man.
Thanks, man.
I appreciate it.
Appreciate it
good
so much.
You.
Thanks, Daniel Ruth.
Thank you.